before we get going here, I want to mention a great opportunity to develop professionally at USA Football's National Conference held in Orlando, February 22nd through 24th, 2019. We have a great lineup of speakers, including PJ Fleck, Richie Gray, Herb Hand, Phil Longo, a straight heron, a five-time state champion from South Carolina, Lauren Johnson, state champion from Maryland, Mike Judy, state champion from Delaware, coaching legends like JT Curtis, the winningest current active coach with over 500 wins, and a number of other guys who have just excelled in the profession. We have classroom, chalk talk, on-field sessions, there's meetings to attend, and all kinds of professional development opportunities and networking opportunities with coaches there. Check it out. Go to usafootball.com/NC19podcast. And if you register with the code podcast99, you'll save on the registration. Please check it out.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our series on job preparation. At the time of the year right now, there's a lot of jobs coming open or coming open in the near future. And a lot of guys out there who want to prepare for and get those jobs. So today we're going to focus on the aspect of the coaching portfolio and how using something and putting together a great portfolio can be something that's going to help you along the way, both prior to the interview and potentially during the interview. And joining me today is an expert in that area, former football coach at a number of colleges here in Ohio. He was at Denison, Otterbein, Ohio Wesleyan. Was an undergrad assistant at the Ohio State University. Since then, though, he's moved on to coaching softball and is currently the head softball coach at Frostburg State University, Coach Bill Vasco. Coach, thanks for taking the time and joining us here.
Thanks for having me on, Coach. I appreciate it.
Coach, before we get into talking about the portfolio, I'd like to talk a little bit about your journey through coaching. Seems like it's taken some turns for you in different ways, but you started out as a football coach, and I think that's important. Obviously, we're talking to football coaches here in our audience. You definitely understand the space we're in, but talk to us a little bit about that journey for you and how you moved from being a college football coach into a college softball coach.
Well, as you mentioned, I did my undergrad at Ohio State, and I was a student assistant for a year and a half, and that kind of got me started into coaching. You know, I worked my first few years as a football coach, you know, I was on mostly restricted earnings contracts. I kind of added baseball into the fold because still enjoyed baseball, and it was an opportunity to get a little extra money as well working at the D3 level. After a few years, I kind of realized that, you know, putting in as much time and effort as I was and not making a lot of money, I needed to have another plan. So I finished up my teaching certification and I became a teacher for 8 years. During that time, I was still working part-time at some D3 schools with football and baseball, and then I became an athletic director and kind of switched gears full-time teaching and athletic director. And during that time, our softball program wasn't very good, so we went a different direction. I hired another person to be co-head coach with myself, and we turned the program around, did pretty well, and I applied for a local D2 position that had opened up for head softball and landed that position. And then it eventually led into me moving on as an assistant at the Division I level at two different schools for the past 5 years. And then I got hired as the head coach at Frostburg just about a month ago for D3. Right now we're transitioning to D2 next year. So it's just kind of been, as a young coach, I understand what it's like to climb the ladder and kind of figure out what's best for you in terms of gaining experience and moving on and then improving your situation financially and professionally. And it just kind of, as you mentioned, been a winding road, and I'm really happy with what I'm doing now. I kind of grew to love the sport of softball once I got involved in that. And it is definitely a different lifestyle in terms of, you know, the career and life balance that I have in regards to what I experienced as a young football coach. But, you know, I loved my time as a young football coach, but it obviously led me to where I'm at now. And I'm super happy with what's transpired recently with my career. So it's been an interesting journey for sure.
Coach, in looking at some of the things you've done, and especially in terms of our topic today, which is preparing for the interview and preparing to win a job, you've sat on both sides of that table. You've been an athletic director hiring coaches, and you've been obviously on the other side as a coach trying to get a job. From both sides, from those perspectives, in what you've learned along the way, what are some of the important things you think in order for coaches to both prepare for the process as well as to succeed in it?
Well, one of the things that obviously I still get because of the websites that I run, I get a lot of questions about getting involved at the college level as a coach. And one of the things that I definitely wanted to mention for young coaches or just young people in general who are looking to get into coaching, there's the competitive market for football coaches. You know, we know what it's like to try to get a foot in the door in that area. I talk to a lot of young coaches about don't limit yourself to one sport or that you have to be a GA. A lot of times you may have to volunteer somewhere to get your foot in the door. Also, you know, like I said, I added baseball early in my career because it was another opportunity to make money, but that ultimately I think led to where I'm at in terms of softball right now. So just don't limit yourself and be narrow-minded into what you want to do. Keep all avenues open at all times. I started trying to figure out ways that I could make extra money as a coach, and that's kind of how I got into website design. So when I developed the mycoachbook.com website, which was one of my early websites, it was kind of a social networking website for coaches. I did an article series on the job search process, and one of the areas I focused on was coaching portfolios, because it was something that I had utilized when I first started applying for new jobs, especially head coaching jobs early in my coaching career, and a lot of people weren't doing it. So I kind of put together an article series on how to develop that. And it was kind of along the lines of just developing a staff manual as well, because I'd worked under a couple of coaches who, you know, the first day when we get together to have our staff meetings, passed out a binder of what the expectations were, what our philosophies were, how we were going to integrate those philosophies within the program. So when I developed my portfolio, those were along the lines of how I went about it was, you know, I'm going to put together a staff manual and I'm going to approach it from, even though I'm an assistant coach now, maybe I'm only applying for assistant coaches, but what would I want to do in my program as a head coach? So I think young coaches especially really need to kind of think in those terms when they're applying for jobs of what are their ideas, thoughts, and philosophies if they were a head coach and they were in charge of a staff, and start gathering some of those ideas. A lot of times when people ask me about portfolios, they want me to put together a portfolio for them. And then I try to tell them that the portfolio is your own ideas and thoughts. And it's good to look at what other people are doing to kind of develop your ideas and thoughts. But it's got to come from you, and you need to sit down. And a lot of times it's documents you may be creating as you're a coach that you need to file away and say, hey, I want to develop that further and be able to use that so that when I apply for jobs, I have some materials that I can kind of pull from as I go through the process.
I know that was the process for me as well. And I remember before really I even started applying for head coaching jobs in my career, I started to put those ideas together like you talked about. And actually the first thing that really got me thinking about that was a friend of mine who was a superintendent had just gone through the process of hiring a football coach. And he had all these portfolios and manuals that were given to him in the process, and he passed those along to me. And it was kind of like, in looking at that stack of manuals, it reminded me of typical high school class where you have your students turn in a report, and you have that vast array of abilities and work ethic in class, and you have those A papers, and you have those ones that you feel like, but did you spend any time on this at all? And I felt like I saw that same range in this stack of portfolios that he gave me, that there were some guys who really thought about it and did it well and were very organized. And there were some guys who honestly probably didn't even get to the interview table with them. But it turned me on to the idea of, if I'm going to be a head coach someday, I have to start putting my ideas together. And early on, there's a lot. I look back at what I did early on. It was almost straight, I don't want to say stealing, but borrowing ideas from this coach or that coach, from books I read, et cetera. And eventually those kind of continue to transform, and I put my own spin on those things. But you have to start somewhere as a coach. So I think this process starts way before you're getting ready for a job. But if you are at that point right now and you haven't done that work, this is certainly going to be beneficial for you to move on. So as we look at that idea and putting this together. What are some of the most effective things for coaches in this process to start to put together? What are things that are absolutes, in your opinion, on putting in your coaching portfolio?
Well, the number one thing is, when I look back when I first started creating my portfolio, and it was three-ring binder with everything that I had done as a coach, and it was 3 inches thick, to the point now where, you know, my most recent job that I just started, you know, when I did my portfolio, I limited it to about 18 pages. You know, I went to Staples and I got it professionally bound, did 10 copies. And I also have a digital version of my portfolio that I built into a website. So the first thing is kind of like the presentation. How are you going to present that? I think, you know, people who are turning in three-ring binder portfolios are kind of behind the times.
Yeah.
I think you have to have some type of digital version in form of a PDF that you can submit ahead of time to people on the hiring committee. Whether it's a PDF or a website, I mean, I like the website version myself because it's something I can update and I can kind of market and brand myself a little bit. And then when going to the interview process, having something that looks professional to hand out. And there are a variety of ways to putting that together. I've gone from developing my portfolio in Microsoft Word to using PowerPoint just because it's so much more flexible in the things that you can do and the way that you can lay it out and professionalism that you can add to it. So that's kind of in terms of presentation. And then in terms of actual content, again, I think it's really important that, especially if you're already coaching or involved in some manner, starting to put together separate documents of things that you're already utilizing. A lot of times people will want to build their portfolio as one big document, which it has to be at the end. But I have a file folder where I make copies of all the documents that I'm currently using as a coach. I'm like, hey, I think this might be something I want to utilize in my portfolio. And I stick that file into a folder. And then when I'm working on my portfolio, I combine which documents I think are important for the job that I'm applying. And that's another key point, is that when you're putting together your portfolio for a specific job, you really want to make sure that you put things in that portfolio that you know are going to be important for that particular job. Like, for example, if you're applying for a position at a school that doesn't have any issues with funds or resources, then, you know, you may not include a section on fundraising. But if you know you're going to a school that really struggles in terms of purchasing equipment or other things for the program, fundraising may be really big, and you want to make sure that you have a section in your portfolio about fundraising. So it can be a wide range of things. I think you need to include things that focus on the achievements and accomplishments that you've had in your coaching career, which is something that should be on your resume, but it's an opportunity in your portfolio to kind of expand upon those achievements and accomplishments, highlights in your career. And then you want to have some basic philosophies in terms of how you're going to develop your program. What are your standards going to be? What are your goals going to be? How are you going to have player development within the program? What type of feeder system are you going to be, depending upon what level you're applying for? If it's a high school position, how are you going to develop your middle school and youth programs? If it's a college program, how are you going to develop your recruiting philosophy? So I think a lot about how you're going to build the program and develop the program is another area that you need to focus upon. And then again, the other kind of side things that you want to include just really depend upon the particular position that you're applying for.
I agree with you on especially thinking about what is important in that particular community and understanding what you would want to present to them. It's going to be important if you get the opportunity to sit down with a committee and talk to them. So certainly you want to look at that in terms of what you're sending in your portfolio. And I do think there's those things like your philosophies that are going to be in there. But in particular, you know, what things might you need to address that you know have been maybe recent issues for that school? So it's all about doing a little bit of research up front. Maybe at that particular school, numbers have been the issue. And you could go back and you'd look online or look at what they have and find out, you know, that the numbers have dwindled over time. So maybe you need to focus that particular section on what things can you do to build numbers? What can you do to address some of those problems? So I don't know that there's one portfolio that you're going to send to every place that's going to look the same. But I think if you start to compile these pieces that you can add in, like you said, these different documents that you're working on, and I'm going to use this one on on fundraising for this school, but I'm not in this school. We're going to focus more, you know, in this job, I got to build the numbers. So it's about doing your work up front and understanding where you're going and what their needs are as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's super important. And a lot of times people will send out a lot of resumes for a lot of different jobs, which is fine. But I think that if you really want to improve your chances of landing a job, you kind of got to narrow down a little bit on some jobs that you really want to focus upon. You know, like I mentioned, I've gone from the three-ring binder portfolio to I do a hard copy, but when I apply for a job that I'm really interested in, I try to find out who's in charge of the hiring committee at that particular position, and I just do a follow-up email with them introducing myself and letting them know that I'd submitted my resume and application, and then I attach a copy of my resume to that email. And then, you know, like I said, I've converted my portfolio not only to a digital version, but to a website. So I add a link for my portfolio website to that email, which gives them the opportunity to do a little bit of advanced research about me, to kind of learn about me and kind of gets my name, I'm hoping, to the top of the list if I'm going to be one of the people that they're interested in bringing in. So I think that's important as well. Again, that presentation part of it and doing the homework and the legwork, that if you're really interested in position, you've got to show that interest. You can't just send out a blanket resume and a blanket portfolio, because even though you feel like that's a lot, today's competitive market for coaching jobs, there are going to be people who are out there trying to outdo you and go a little bit further with what they're submitting.
Absolutely. And I do think a lot of this at that point really comes down to the presentation, especially if you're that younger coach, you might not have that head coaching experience. What can you do to add to the presentation? I love the idea of having maybe a WordPress page or something like that where you can provide a link, or at the very least a digital copy in PDF form of your portfolio that you're presenting for that particular job. How important is it to think about the adding pictures in, adding in color, adding in graphics, those kinds of things, as compared to just a Word document that bullet points some things?
I think it's super important. So like I mentioned, being able to do a digital version and a website adds all kinds of visual things that will draw people in. And then even your hard copy, like when I was applying for this job, I took a look at my hard copy and I was like, wow, it's so boring. It's just black and white and it's just words on paper right now. It doesn't even stand out to me, and I'm the one who made it. Mm-hmm. So I went back, and again, that's another great thing about PowerPoint. It has so many different ways of presenting the information in charts and graphs and adding illustrations. And those things just made, especially a lot of my like team building kind of ideas that I had, I could present them in different ways that really stood out. And then again, it makes it really easy to add images. I think it's super important to add images of you in the profession, coaching, working with the players, doing community service. That just adds a personal touch to the portfolio that can really improve your chances of being noticed by the hiring committee. So that type of presentation is really important.
When we get beyond putting in our coaching philosophies, and that could be our general coaching philosophy, that could be our philosophy of offense, of defense, of special teams, of discipline, of how we're going to run the weight room, et cetera. There's a lot you could dig into in the different things you could put in there and the things that you believe. How important is it to include some of those work samples? For example, maybe a practice plan or a practice script, or showing maybe a portion of your playbook. I don't think sending anybody your playbook is a good idea, but I also think providing them some highlights or glimpses into what you're doing, explaining a little bit, kind of with that multimedia type of presentation. You don't want to just use all words to do it. You want to maybe show some diagrams, show some pictures. If you do have a website, include some video clips. How important is it to do that, and how do you limit that? Because you really don't want to overwhelm somebody with all this information at well. You want them to look at all of it and get a great snapshot of who you are. But like the most important thing is, you know, just like with any email you might get, I mean, you want them reading to the bottom of it. So how do you get them to do that?
Yeah, I think that's super important. I mean, I'm guilty of that myself, whether it's resume, portfolio, of always wanting to add more, because it feels like you want to let them know, like, hey, look at all of these things that I've done. So I think it's important to show the hiring committee your philosophies and what your plans are in terms of offensive, defensive scheme. And I know most of our audience is football coaches, but that's for any sport, that you're going to want to be able to demonstrate what your philosophies are and what your technical knowledge is, and also some knowledge with the strength and conditioning program, especially if that's something that you're going to have to be in charge of. But in terms of, you know, actually showing the playbook, I think that comes more from, especially for football, again, knowing the what you're going into in terms of what the committee may be looking for. It may be a little bit more important. For example, if you're going somewhere where they've been running a wing T offense and that's what they want to continue, or maybe they want to modernize into something else like a spread offense or whatever, then that's going to be important. They may have people on the committee who are going to kind of understand some of the things that you're going to present to them in the portfolio, where in other cases, you know, you're wasting space and valuable time for the hiring committee to look at those things and they have no clue what you're talking about. So I think the most important part is being able to take your offensive, defensive, technical philosophies and really just summarizing them in a way that will be understandable to everybody on the hiring committee. And the best way to do that, I think, is develop it yourself and then pass it out to a couple of other people that you really trust to look it over. Because when I was developing my portfolio for this job, it was at about 40 pages, and I kept submitting it to the people I was having review it for me. They kept saying, hey, it's too much. I can't make it through all of this information. It needs to be shorter. So I eventually got it down to about 18 pages and able to summarize my technical knowledge in a very brief format. And then again, this is where, you know, having the website version of your portfolio also helps, because you can have those things on the website. And if you're handing out a hard copy, it can be a lot shorter, and your hard copy can refer them to the website where you can have additional things, like you mentioned, with some pages from the playbook, some video and those kind of things. So it doesn't just have to be one format. You've kind of got to branch out. And then the thing I like to really stress, like, to people is when you're doing these things, again, you're not just doing it for a portfolio. Like, my portfolio, the things that are in it are things that I'm using on a daily basis or yearly basis within my program. They're part of my philosophies, and I refer to them a lot of times. So people approach it sometimes as in, hey, this is just for the job search and then I'm never going to use this stuff. That's not the way to utilize it. You know, utilize it in your everyday doings within your program. Utilize it with your staff. It helps you develop your philosophies a little bit further, which is a big part of getting ready for the interview process, being confident in the information that you're going to want to present. Developing these things in your portfolio is going to prepare you even further. And then, like I mentioned with the website version, it's a way to market and brand yourself and the things that you're doing. And then I know some other coaches, yourself, some other coaches that I really respect, kind of add to their websites, you know, when they develop some products that they may want to get out there and sell, as they try to figure out a way to make a little extra money as coach. But then when we come up with ideas, and this is how it started for me when I developed the coaching portfolio website, and the guide was kind of like, hey, I have this article series that's getting 10,000 hits in a year. Like, what can I do to kind of monetize that for myself a little bit and also help out other coaches? So the internet is just like so many opportunities of the things that we can do to do professional development for ourselves, prepare for the job search process, help out other coaches, maybe make a little extra money, the marketing and the branding, the social media. There's just so many things that you can accomplish these days with all of that, that it's just expanding. And I know this is just focusing, you know, primarily on portfolios and the job search process, but I think coaches need to think outside of the box a little bit when they're doing these kind of things.
Absolutely. I think when you put all of these things together, which again, you might just be taking small snapshots of the different things that you do within your program. When you have all those documents together, though, I found that they stack up pretty quick. In fact, I actually show it to coaches, young coaches I've had. I lend it out to them, but it is not just the snapshot I might put in a portfolio, but essentially every aspect of my program, how we operate it, along with different examples of what I've used over the years. So it might be that first letter that I send out to parents and, you know, what we're trying to accomplish there. Anything I would do over the course of my career, I'd save one copy of it, hard copy, and put it in the binder, and then obviously save the digital copies in folders. And, you know, over the years, you tweak those things. You make adjustments to them. So they will change and they'll be dynamic. But you know, when you look at it, though, all those things together really become the operating manual for your program. And you have those answers and understand exactly what you're going to do in every aspect. And at the very least, you have something to go back to and look at and evaluate and say, where do we need to make some changes? How do we need to adjust this? What are the things that I need to learn and research maybe to get better at these things? I think as a coach, especially if you want to be a head coach, you have to do those things. As a position coach, though, I think it's important as well that you develop those tools as a position coach. Maybe it's your player evaluation tools, preseason or postseason questionnaires, player expectations, all those different things. How are you going to organize your staff? You know, that's something you have to think about and be organized with. And how important will that be, you know, each of those aspects to the hiring committee? Again, understand where you're going into and maybe what pieces you need to pull out of this. So we probably could list a bunch of things here. And again, mine's it's got to be over 400 pages right now of everything I've accumulated. But it's all tabbed out. It's printed in color. And I am pretty tight with who I give that to because I want to make sure I get it back. There was a lot of work that went into that. But the idea, you know, I always help, usually it's former players who want to become a head coach. Like, okay, well, here's some examples. Here's some things you need to think about. Take it for a week. Copy what you need. I want it back in the order you gave it to me. But again, I think having those things and continuing to put those together over the course of your career just going to help you eventually when you need to prepare for these situations.
A lot of people ask to see my portfolio, and I usually send them to my website because it has a representation of kind of my general philosophies on things. But it's a totally organic product where it's changing and evolving. And, you know, I looked at some of the things I wanted to include in my portfolio for when I was applying for this position, and I was like, you know, I really need to rethink some of these things. Is that how I want to do it now? I've kind of grown and developed, and, you know, some of it was very basic, you know, like some of our standards and goals. I was like, you know, I want to reevaluate that and maybe change it up. Staff responsibilities and expectations was an area that I really wanted to kind of revamp because I had really learned a lot in the last 5 years since I was previously a head coach of like, you know, I want to manage my staff better and this is how I want to do it. So I totally redid that section. So I think it's something you're constantly going back and doing because not only, again, for the portfolio, but because of that's how you want to do it within your program.
I've used the technology over time as well. One of my favorite tools, and you know, those coaches out there who know me know I have several books I've put on iBooks, and so I like to use iBooks Author because it presents these just great templates where you can slide pictures in there, can copy and paste your text. And you know, what I do with that essentially is I built a template in there where there's a lot of those same things I'm going to use over and over again, but there's going to be sections where I like to customize these when I go to an interview. So if I'm interviewing, for example, for a program and their nickname is the Tigers, you know, I'm going to have that on the front page and customize it to them, show them that it's just, you know, this is what I give to everybody. I've made this specifically for you. But on my side, really, it's just changing out a few things. And it's usually at the beginning of each section. So I don't recommend changing things in the text because you'll forget about them and you won't change it for the next one. So you might be applying for the Tigers in this one and you have another team that you applied for and they were the Demons and you forgot to change out where it says Demons and now you kind of look like an idiot because you got the wrong nickname in there. So don't mess around with the text of it. You certainly can leave your old program's nicknames in there. They would understand that. But I think customizing it out and at least putting a cover specifically for that group is something that, again, shows them, look, I'm willing to do the extra here. I'm about attention to detail, and this was made specifically for your program.
Yeah, I agree. I don't change any of the text either for the specific school. I do make a nice cover page, and then something I did a little different this time is I just took the logo of the school and I put it in the bottom right corner of every page throughout. There were maybe were a couple of other areas where I added some images in terms of a visual representation of a thought or an idea that I had, and I added the logo kind of in there. So I limited it strictly to visual things and not any text information in regards to the upcoming school.
Yeah, exactly. It's easier to find those as you're going through it. You won't have to be proofreading everything every time and making sure I changed out this name or that name. And it's funny, though, because I get cover letters right now in my role at USA Football, different jobs we have people apply for, and they'll forget to change the name of the company that they were applying to. Like, just simple things like that, that's going to knock you out of the pile right away when you do those kinds of things.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. It's just like sending out a resume cover letter with the incorrect information. You're going to be off the list pretty quick.
So we've put this portfolio together. We've sent it along to the hiring committee. We get an opportunity to sit down at the table with them. I've had situations before, Coach, where I've utilized that throughout the meeting. I've had it where I've given them copies. Eventually, I felt better about making sure they got it ahead of time, though there are those situations where you might not be able to do that. But I've also found if they're serious about it, and this tells me a lot when I'm evaluating, do I want this job? If they're serious about it, everybody in that room will know what you're talking about because they've read through it. So that gives you some signs and some feedback. But I would say the best thing is you probably, and this is my opinion, I would like to hear yours, you probably don't want to be pulling that out throughout the interview, because what happens is just human nature. They might get fixed on an idea, continue reading, and they forget to listen to you and what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I've approached that a couple of different ways. Again, you know, with, you know, recent technology of email and creating a digital version or an online version, you know, I obviously send that out to the person in charge of the hiring committee as soon as I can. Or if I haven't, you know, touched base with them initially when I applied for the position, once I find out I have an interview, I try to send that to them and ask them, you know, to share that with the hiring committee. So it gives them a chance to review that before you even set foot on campus or at the school for the interview. So if you can share that even with just the hiring committee and ask them to share that with everybody else who might be on the committee. The other two ways that I've handled it, the last time I got a head coaching job, it was within an hour's drive. So I drove the hour and I personally dropped off my portfolio. This was even before I got the interview, I believe. It's been a little while, but I think I went and delivered it before I knew I had the interview. But again, if it's within driving distance, you can obviously drop off hard copies to the athletic director or the head coach, whoever may be in charge of the hiring. And then most recently with this most recent interview, it was a much further drive for me. And they gave me an itinerary, what the interview day was going to look like. I was going to meet with several people throughout the day over an 8-hour period. So when I first arrived at the main person's office who was in charge of getting me everywhere, I had 10 copies of the portfolio, my hard copy. And I just handed them to him and asked him to pass them out to anybody else who I may be coming across throughout the day during the interview process so that they would have them at the beginning of the day and could look over it before I actually met with them. And then in cases where I wasn't able to do that, for example, I met with somebody in the admissions department and I kind of just handed it to them at the beginning of our meeting and just told them that, hey, here's some information that you may want to look over at some point. I'm just giving it to you that you can peruse at your own convenience, kind of take a look at some of my thoughts and philosophies on the recruiting and how I plan on getting student athletes interested in this particular school and so forth. So there's a variety of ways that you can handle that. It's okay to tell them that, hey, here's some further information that I would like you to review upon your convenience, you know, not this particular moment. If you can get it to them in advance in some manner of email or prior to the interview or at the beginning of the day, then that's obviously an option as well. Because I agree, I don't think it's great just to, when you're sitting at a round table with five people, to pass it out right then and there, because as you mentioned, they're going to kind of flip through it and their attention is going to be divided a little bit.
Yes, exactly. And what I've found, really, the emphasis is going to be more on you as a coach rather than what your particular systems are. There's going to be people in the room who are interested in that. But at the end of the day, most of those people actually are not experts on the game. They're counting on you to be that. So they trust that they've done a little bit of homework on you and they know you're going to know those things. So it's really about bringing out the other things of who you are, both as a person, as a coach, and letting them know what's important to you and what they're going to see in the program. So if you've done a good job of that, and I agree, you have to get it to them ahead of time, if at all possible, they're going to know that this is who you are. And those will be things they probably bring up in the interview. They might ask questions about those. And I know a lot of us when we're young, we're hungry to take any job, but I think whether you're going to be successful or not depends a lot on that committee, because usually they're some of the leaders in that school, in that community. What is their real interest in this? How much time are they really putting into it? Because if it's not important to them, you have to think twice about taking that job, because eventually that could be something that is very frustrating because you won't get the support you need. So I think there's a lot of things you can pick up on the process if you're able to tell that, hey, I got a group here where, you know, the booster club president, I know he read all this. I know he's going to be supportive, or the principal, or whoever it might be that is in that interview committee, starts to tell you a little bit about what you're going into.
And you brought up a good point, especially like about young coaches. So like a lot of times young coaches have questions about, well, I'm a young coach. What do I include in my portfolio? So again, I think this is important. You know, I remember thinking back, like the very first time I put together a portfolio, and it was for a head job. And I'm thinking like, what do I include? Well, you know, as you mentioned, that's kind of where you steal some ideas. But when you steal those ideas, it starts to develop some thought about for yourself, like, you know, what would I do as a head coach and how would I develop my program? And that's kind of how you start to develop the portfolio. And it's also kind of how you start to develop your philosophies and ideas. I mean, I think most young coaches know that they need to have some type of general coaching philosophy of why they're coaching, how they got involved, and why it's important to them. And then that kind of can expand out into some other areas of how to develop their portfolio. So, you know, I think it's really important for young coaches to sit down and think about some of these things. Why am I coaching? What are my philosophies? What would I do as a head coach, in addition to just their assistant coach type position, so that they're prepared? You know, again, for myself as a head coach hiring young assistant coaches, I want them to be able to have some type of ability to think about, you know, if I give you this responsibility, how would you do that? And I'm big on, I don't like to delegate because I think I do it better myself, but I know I have to delegate, and I want to make sure if I'm delegating responsibilities, I'm delegating them to somebody I trust is responsible enough to be able to handle that. So as a young coach, even if you're applying as an assistant somewhere, you know, the portfolio is important to kind of demonstrate your competence in being able to handle responsibilities that the head coach is going to hand off to you and handle in a manner that they know that you're going to get the job done right.
Bill, some valuable information today for coaches out there preparing for the job. You have a resource available, and it's really affordable. I think last I read it was like $9.95 for the subscription, but coachingportfolio.com. Tell our listeners a little bit about what they can get there and how that will help them with this process.
So again, it started from an article series, and in between coaching jobs, I was like, you know, what am I going to do? I need to make some extra money. I was like, I got this resource. You know, you always kind of think about what knowledge or information do I have that would be valuable to others, and maybe I can make a little money on the side. And at the time, I was in between jobs and needed to figure that out kind of quick. So I started, you know, I have experience in website design, which has been valuable to me. And I kind of started taking that article series and expanding upon it. So what I do when people sign up to be a member, they are taken to an area where it kind of gives a breakdown of the primary areas or sections that they can include in portfolio, and just gives a brief explanation of what kind of things should be included in that area. And I provide some generic examples of how to kind of lay that out or what to be thinking about. And when you start to develop that particular section, and then in addition to that, I've gathered several sample portfolios that are actual portfolios that other coaches have used that they submitted to me through the website or through email. So we have several sample portfolios that are available, several other sample documents that were just separate from portfolios. So coaches can actually see samples of portfolios and documents that have actually been used by other coaches. There are a lot of other resources in terms of like articles in regards to the job search process with interviews, cover letters, resumes, from a variety of resources based upon partnerships that I've developed with other coaches or other organizations that I just feel are very helpful and valuable to the coach. Again, a lot of times when people sign up, they think that this website is, they're going to plug in their information and it's going to spit out a portfolio for them, which is the total wrong way to go about doing this. I don't develop the portfolio for them. The portfolio should be a very personal document that they create. So this just gives them some guidance in terms of how to go about that if they haven't done that, or ways that maybe they can further develop it. And again, I've been developing the section of this guide a little bit further about technology increases ways to stand out and continue to develop a professional document in terms of, like I mentioned, using PowerPoint is really important, using images, illustrations, graphics, developing a PDF version, doing an online version, which I'm working on a tutorial right now on how coaches can use. There's a lot of, you know, like you mentioned, WordPress, there's Wix, Weebly, there's a lot of variety of ways that coaches can develop a website really easily. I used to develop the websites for the coaches, but it's gotten to be where I have to charge too much to do that. So I'm working on a tutorial. I'm hoping to have it done by the end of the year, where coaches will be able to see if they want to develop their portfolio into a website. They can do that really inexpensively and really easily. So kind of doing that part as well. So again, like you mentioned, it's $9.95, which isn't much, a couple Starbucks coffees or Monster Energy drinks, you know, that you skip for a particular week, and you get lifetime access to the guide online. You just log in. Anytime anything new is added to it, you get instant access to that. So we've had about 1,500 coaches take advantage of it over the last 4 years when I first started developing it. So, and, you know, it's not something that's out there that I'm blasting. You know, I do a little promotion through some of my other websites, and a couple of other organizations and companies help promote it as well. And I think it's a resource that for the price is really valuable and very helpful. And, you know, I want to do whatever I can to get the word out there to be able to help as many coaches as possible to learn more about the topic.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you spending time with us today. I appreciate what you're doing for coaches out there on coachingportfolio.com. Thank you for the valuable information, and we'll be following you and what you're doing there in the softball world.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate taking the time and speaking with me today and getting the word out to other coaches.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.